You're listening to sermons from Bethany Baptist Church. For more information, visit us at bethanychicago.org.
Thank you. Thanks, Pastor. I appreciate that. Guys, if you can, let's open up our Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, and as Pastor Daryl has already mentioned, my name is Ken Salam. I have the honor of serving as a pastor at Park Community Church in Bridgeport, and it is an immense privilege to be with you all today. Now, before I get started, I do want to say thank you to Pastor Daryl and Kristen for being so hospitable and being such great gospel partners. Many years ago, as he mentioned, we had a chance to meet up. My family went over. We had some great pizza and just talked ministry. And something that just impressed me so much, and something that you guys already know, is that just the incredible servant's heart that they both have, and just the love that they have, not just for the small C church, the local church, but the big C church and what God is doing. So these guys are the real deal. Also, I've had a chance to get to know Josue and Linda on the volleyball court, which is always a lot of fun to see them in action. And I just want to say, like, just what God is doing here in this church is just so exciting, and I really do believe that God is going to continue to work in the best days, and this church has been here for a very long time. The best days are still yet to come for what God wants to do through this church. So really excited to be a part of that, and that we can link arms and do this together. Now, for our time together today, we're going to be in John chapter 10, when Jesus says that I am the good shepherd. And the reason I want for us to look at this together is that even though I'm from Park Community Church, this is Bethany Baptist Church, two different congregations, two different histories, two different ways of doing ministry, two different ministry contexts, we are still one because we're under one great shepherd, Jesus Christ. That I didn't die, Pastor Daryl didn't die for this church, Jesus Christ died for this church, his bride. So with that, what I want us to do here today is I only want us to be impressed with the only person who ever matters, and that's Jesus Christ. So with that, let's look at John chapter 10. And look what it means for Jesus to be our good shepherd. Let's start at verse 11. So we read a few of these verses already, but let me read them again. John chapter 10, starting at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I've received from my Father. And if we can, let's jump to verse 27. Jump down to verse 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Let me pray. Father God, we ask now that as we come before your word, that every time the scriptures are open, Father, we hear from you. And God, as we hear from you, help our hearts to be filled, help our hearts to be in delight, but Father, also help our hearts to be humble because your word is challenging. It does grow us. So Father, if there's any pride, God, if there's any sense of pushback against you, Father, through your spirit, would you bring those walls down so that, Father, that we would bend a knee before your son, Jesus Christ. And Father, if there's any human wisdom that comes from me, God, that will only distract. So Father, just put me to the side and may Jesus be the one exalted this morning. And friends, before I pray for us, would you just say this prayer to God in your own hearts? Father, help me to follow you as my shepherd. Father, help me to follow you as my shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, there's a major difference between owning and renting. Usually because owners take better care of things than renters. So for example, when you own a car and as you're driving down Archer Avenue and you see these massive potholes, you drive around them. But if you're renting a car, boom, boom. Oh, well, you know, nowadays you can also rent a dog and have tons of fun with it, go out for a walk, it's great, but then by the end of the day, you're like, you know what, no thanks, and you can bring it right back to the shelter. Or recently, Chicago's been trying out these electric scooters, right, all over the West Loop, near north side of the city, and right now everyone is getting so frustrated with it because these people are riding them, and once they're done, guess what they're doing? They're just throwing it on the sidewalk without a single care in the world. When you rent, you don't really care what happens with it afterwards. Or how about this one? When my family rents a hotel room for vacation, once those doors open, my kids run in there, and they're so excited. They're jumping on the beds with their shoes. Trash is everywhere on the floor. Towels are being thrown everywhere. I'm not saying this is right. This is just their sinful nature playing out, okay? I'm not saying it's right, but it's what they do. Now, when it's back home, when it's my home, my kids know that they have to clean up their after themselves. They know that they have to hang their towels. And they know that if they jump on any of our beds with their shoes on, they better be ready to live somewhere else. When you own, you will care more. Today, Jesus calls himself an owner. And he contrasts himself between a hired help and a shepherd who owns his sheep. Look at verse 12 and 13 again. He was a hired hand and not a shepherd who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Now, when Jesus says this, he is rebuking the religious leaders of the day. The context of our verses actually start in John chapter 9, when Jesus heals the blind man. There's actually, even though there's a chapter separation, they're actually one big story. So what happens here is that Jesus heals a blind man, it creates a ton of commotion, and this man is brought before the religious leaders, and these leaders grill this man, saying, "Who healed you? Who healed you? Who healed you?" And over again, all this guy could say is Jesus. "I was once blind, now I see, and it's because of Jesus Christ." And the Pharisees get furious and angry, and they kick this healed man out of the temple. So instead of praising God for this miracle, bringing this man back into fellowship, and recognizing how all these signs are pointing back to Jesus as Messiah, they repress it and they reject it. And I love this. In chapter 9, verse 35, Jesus finds out that this blind man has been cast out, and he goes and finds him. And in essence, he says to this healed man, "Don't worry about them," referencing to the Pharisees, pointing to the Pharisees, "don't worry about them. They're not good shepherds. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the Messiah. I'm all that you need. I will take care of you because you are mine." Now, to appreciate all that Jesus is saying here, we need to know the relationship between that of a shepherd and sheep. So first, sheep are dumb and helpless. I wish there was a better way to say it, but that's what they are, okay? For example, if one sheep falls off the cliff, guess where the other 99 are going to go? Right off the same cliff. Sheep don't know how to feed themselves. They have to be led to pasture, that literally there could be a green patch of grass right over here and the sheep are over there. They won't know to go over here. A shepherd has to lead them over there. Also, sheep have no natural defenses. They don't have spikes, a hard shell, spit poison. That would be cool, but they don't do that. Camouflage, have a loud roar. Sheep are just slow and fluffy. That's what they are. There's nothing fierce about being a sheep. For example, when kids can't sleep at night, what do we tell them to count? Sheep, right? When Jesus calls us sheep, it's not meant to be flattering. The relationship between a shepherd and a sheep is not a partnership. It's not that you do your part and I'll do my part. A shepherd takes full responsibility for the sheep. The shepherd is the protector, provider, doctor, leader, guide, owner. The shepherd is everything for the sheep. When Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," he is telling this healed man, and he is telling all of us, "I am your everything. I will feed you. I will watch over you. I will protect you." Now, what he says here should connect with all of us, because we all long for a shepherd. We all long for that kind of care. But here's the problem, is that instead of looking to Jesus as our shepherd, we look to others to fill that role. You know, for example, some of us have gotten married hoping our spouse will meet all of our needs. that hasn't happened. Some of us vote for that political leader or institution, and they will solve all our problems. Still hasn't happened yet. Some are angry at our parents because we expected them to be the kind of people to always be there for us. They weren't. And some of you go to a guy like me or a guy like Pastor Daryl over here, and you think like, you know, hey, they're a minister, so once I share all my struggles with them, you know, they'll take care of everything. Well, that hasn't happened either. People will fail us because of the sin and brokenness that inflicts all of us. Jesus today says that he is the good shepherd, not a good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is the only one who can care for us the way that we need. He's the only one who will never fail us. So the question for us this morning is, will you trust him to be your good shepherd? You know, with the time that we have here today, I want to give you three reasons why you can trust Jesus as your good shepherd. First is this, he knows you fully. Second, he sacrifices for you fully. And then he also, secures you fully. He knows you fully, he sacrifices for you fully, finally he secures you fully. So here's the first point. He knows you fully. Verse 14 says this, I'm the good shepherd, I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Now, when Jesus uses the word know here, he's not talking so much about head knowledge, but he's talking about relational knowledge. That back then, shepherds knew their sheep so well that they can call them each by name. You know, Bob, Sally, George, Roger. And this is amazing because sheep, for me at least, all pretty much look the same to me. I can't tell the difference. But for a shepherd, they are each unique to him because he has spent the time to get to know them. You know, two of my best friends are identical twins, Tommy and Jimmy, and they're some of the closest people in my life. And when other people meet them for the very first time, they are so confused. It's like they stepped into an episode of Twilight Zone. And a lot of times they come up to me and they ask me for help saying, hey, Kenson, who's who again? Who's Tommy? Who's Jimmy? And without even hesitating, I can say, that's Tommy, that's Jimmy. And they're like, and they feel like I've just done a magic trick. They're like, wow, how'd you do that? Tell me how you figured it out. And I tell them, how can you not see the difference? They look nothing alike. Now, what did I have that these other people didn't have? These were two people closest to my heart. When Jesus says he knows his sheep, he is telling you that you are close to his heart. That just like when Jesus says, the Father knows me and I know the Father, Jesus is saying so much more than just knowing about the Father. He is saying how he has intimate knowledge of the Father, a knowledge that is rooted in relationship, in love, in joy, in delight. So when Jesus makes this connection of knowing us as sheep and how he knows the Father, he's saying and telling all of us, I want to have that kind of relationship with you. Verse 14, I know my own and my own know me. Jesus knows his sheep. But do you know him as shepherd? Now you might be sitting here and thinking, yeah, of course I know Jesus as my shepherd. But do you really, really believe this? I don't think so, including myself. Many of us don't because we hate being sheep. We don't want to be dumb. We don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to be weak like sheep. We want to believe that I'm a pretty good person, a pretty strong person, a pretty smart person, a very capable person. So what I really want is not so much a good shepherd, but I want Jesus, the good consultant. You know, give me some advice here and there, but I'll lead myself. Or Jesus, the good grandfather. You know what? You can go ahead and spoil me, but don't parent me. And when I kind of do sin and I do something wrong, you know, just kind of wink, wink, nod, nod, and just let it go. Or we want Jesus, the divine cheerleader, that when I'm sad, I want him to encourage me. I want him to tell me, you can do anything you put your mind to. Yeah, yeah, way to go. You know, you're number one. Can I just say, this is not knowing Jesus. It's using Jesus. In Matthew chapter 7, we're warned of this false and selfish knowledge. It says this, Jesus says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So what we have here is that we have people who have done incredible things. They've given stirring sermons about Jesus, casted out demons supposedly in the name of Jesus, done miracles in the name of Jesus. And on the outside, they look like the real deal. But when it came time for the final judgment, Jesus says to them, I never knew you. Now, obviously, this doesn't mean that Jesus didn't know who they were. What Jesus says here is that we had no relational knowledge with each other, that I was not your shepherd, you didn't love me, you loved yourself. And here's the wake-up call for us. We can say all the right things, we can go to all the church activities, we can have perfect attendance on Sundays, we can give our 10%, we can follow all the rules, and maybe some of us can do some really incredible things for God, but if our hearts are not close to Jesus Christ, it's all but meaningless. Anything we know about Jesus is empty knowledge if it is not leading us to love and to trust him more fully. When Jesus says he knows us totally, he is telling us that he will care for us totally. So what that means for us to know Jesus is for us to depend on him totally. Are you willing to humble yourself to receive that? It's not until we do this will we be able to experience the blessing of having him as our shepherd. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says that when I am weak, I am strong. Now, how can he say that? It makes no sense at all. But the reason that it works is because Paul knows that he's sheep. That the reason he is strong is because the shepherd who carries him is strong. When Jesus knows us fully, he loves us fully, he treasures us fully. So for us to know him is to love and treasure him above all in our hearts. Here's the second reason we can trust Jesus as our shepherd. He sacrifices fully for us. You know, he says numerous times here that he is willing to die for us. So verse 11, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 15, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. Jesus here is showing again the difference between a hired hand and a shepherd. Now, a little bit of background here. A hired hand was someone that the shepherd paid to help watch the sheep. That if the shepherd wanted to run errands, go into town, or on nights the shepherd wanted to be back home with his family, a hired hand would be brought in to keep an eye on the sheep. And on the externals, a hired hand and a shepherd would look exactly alike. But Jesus says in verses 12 through 13 that he paints a situation that shows us the ultimate difference between a hired hand and a shepherd. That when the wolf comes, when danger comes, the hired hand runs, but the shepherd stays and fights. Why? Because the sheep are his. Now, sometimes when we think about shepherds, we can imagine them just being like sheep, that shepherds are gentle, they're soft, they're mild-mannered, you know, they must do Pilates. You know, that's who shepherds are. No, shepherds are fighters. The most famous of shepherds, King David, when his sheep were killed by bears and lions, it was payback time that he went down and hunted them and killed all of them. In Psalm 23, the incredible psalm of God as our shepherd, verse 4 says this, and let me show it to you here. Verse 4 says this, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, how does the rod and staff give comfort in the valley of death, even in the face of evil? Let me show you what a rod and staff would have looked like here. The staff here was the shepherd's tool to guide and direct sheep. That if sheep were caught in a thorn bush or they're about to fall off the ledge, the hook on the staff was meant to bring the sheep back in to safety. That was one of the shepherd's tool. The other tool was the shepherd's rod. And this tool was not a tool for the sheep, but for the enemies of the sheep. That it was a blunt force object that was used to guard and to protect the sheep. That when the wolf would come, the rod would come out to fight off all and any danger. And what this means is that when the day of trouble comes, when the wolf comes for us, the good shepherd will not run. He will protect us. He will stand in the gap. And what is this wolf that attacks us? It's our greatest enemy, sin and death. And here's the thing, we're not innocent like sheep. We deserve punishment and wrath for our rebellion. Death has every right to claim us as sinners. Death is an enemy to all of us except for Jesus Christ, because he was sinless. He loved the Lord with all his heart, soul, and mind perfectly. Death had no claim on Jesus Christ. In verse 18, when Jesus says, "No one takes my life from me," he meant no one, not even death. And do you know what this means? The wolf didn't come for Jesus. Jesus went after the wolf. That Jesus stood between hell, Satan, demons, death, the wrath of God for us, that his body and soul was torn to shreds. Why? Because the only way Jesus could protect us was to take our place. Our good shepherd became a sacrificial lamb. He died the death that we deserved. And when it seemed like the lamb was defeated on the cross, when it seemed like death had the final word, notice what Jesus says in verse 17. "I have authority to lay down my life, and I have authority to take it back up again." That Jesus has the power to raise himself up. And this to me is an amazing statement, because any person can say, "I lay down my life." That I tell my wife every single day, "Baby, I'll die for you." Not every day, but you know, a lot, right? You know, "I'll take a bullet for you. You know, I'll jump in front of a train for you, you know, in front of a car for you, right? For good reason," right? Like, I can do this. Like, any of us could do that. We can say it to our spouses, our best friends, whoever. "I would die for you." But nobody can say in this room, "I have the authority to take up my life," except for Jesus Christ. What this means is that when Jesus goes to the cross for his sheep, he is not a victim. He is our victor. No one takes his life from him. Judas didn't take it. The mob in the garden didn't take it. The high priest didn't take it. The false witnesses, Herod, Pilate, the soldiers nailing him to the cross. No one took his life from him. Jesus willingly and gladly did it because he loved us. He is our good shepherd. Amen? Amen. And here's the third reason why you can trust Jesus as your good shepherd. He secures us totally. Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." When you are Christ's sheep, you are eternally secure. Not only will he care for you in this life, but in the life to come. And this is a truth that is meant to give us great confidence, an unshakable hope. It's meant to drive away all fear, that no matter how hard this life gets, no matter how many struggles we might face, no matter how many times we might stumble, once we are his, we are always his. And what this assures us is that we can't lose our salvation, because our salvation does not depend on us. Notice how Jesus says, "No one can snatch them out of my hand." My hand. The reason you are secure is not because you hold on to Jesus, it's because he holds on to you. Because if our faith was in our hands, we would lose faith. That at the first sign of discouragement, the first sign of temptation, the first sign of persecution, we would quit. But if our faith is in God's hand, who in all creation could have the power to pry open his hands and to take us away? Nobody. Our good shepherd puts all the responsibility on himself for our redemption, our justification, our sanctification, and glorification. Let me show you Psalm 23 again here. And notice how much responsibility the shepherd puts on himself. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside still water. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." He makes, he leads. He restores, he leads again. Jesus takes all the responsibility to secure us. This is why in verse 28, Jesus says, I give them eternal life. Not they earned eternal life, not they deserved eternal life. I gave it to them. Salvation is a gift. And if you didn't deserve it in the first place, you can't undeserve it. And this is such good news because nothing can separate us from the love of God, not even me. That as sheep, we can do and will do and say some very foolish things. That we might even turn away from Jesus, but it doesn't mean that it's over. You know, in Luke chapter 15, you know, we read about a shepherd who has this one sheep that has wandered away from the 99 other sheep. And do you remember what this shepherd does? He goes ahead and leaves the 99 behind, and he chases after this one wandering sheep. And when he finds the sheep, he puts the sheep on his back, and he has a party to celebrate this stupid sheep. That's how much your shepherd loves you. He throws parties for sheep that run away. The shepherd will never give up on you. It doesn't matter how confused you get, how foolish you become, how entangled in sin you are. It doesn't matter. He will come after you because he loves you. Now, some of you sitting here might find this hard to believe. Then maybe you feel in your heart that, you know what, man, Kenson, you don't know my story. I'm beyond hope. That you really believe that, man, I have out-sinned the grace of God. And because of that, God's done with me. I can't even stand myself. How in the world can God bear with me? This is a lie that we have to repent of. Verse 14, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus knows everything about you and still gives his life for you. That there is nothing in your life that's ever going to catch God off surprise. That you might think that that sin that you have that is hidden away, that no one else knows and it's just you and yourself, before God it is as clear as day, and guess what? He will still give his life for yours. That is how secure you are in Christ. That even when we might forget and wander from Jesus, he will never forget or leave us. You know, a few years ago I took my son to a children's party at this event center, and it was packed with kids. There must have been numerous parties going on, and my son likes to wander off. And believe it or not, I lost him. Now, before you guys start to judge me, any parent will tell you, that's what kids do. They get lost, okay? They get lost. It's not my fault. It's their fault, all right? So I look out at a million little heads here, and I have no idea who he is. So I go ahead, and I just shout out to my son here, Evan, this one right over here, Evan, Evan. And as soon as I hear that, he turns his head and starts running back to me because it's not the Evan, Evan. It's the Evan, Evan, where are you, Evan? Right? And he comes running back to me. Now, I wish I could say it was one and done. But for the next 2 hours, he runs off over and over and over again. Now, every time my son kept running off and walking into all these potential dangers, in that moment, he stopped thinking about me. He stopped obeying my rules. He disregarded me. And even though this frustrated me to no end, I did not stop looking for him. Let me tell you something. My son can wander off 1,000 times over, and it will never change the fact that because I'm his dad, I will chase after him 1,000 times over. Friends, your good shepherd is no different. That even when we might forget him, he will not forget us. That even though we might disregard him, he will regard us. That even when we wander away, he will push through the darkness of sin and death to get after us. That is how much he loves us. There is nothing we can do to ever break his love for us. Once we are his, we are always his. Amen. Amen. So what's an application here? Let me just give you one application as we wrap up. Admit your need for him. Realize that you're a sheep and you will always be sheep. You will never outgrow this. There is no such thing as this school that you can go and graduate from, you know, sheep school and, you know, outgrow it. You will never outgrow this Do you know why? Because you will never outgrow your need for your Lord and Savior. If Jesus is your shepherd, it means that he has to be your everything. And what that means is that you have to practice moment by moment crying out to him. Every temptation you face, every struggle you endure, every disappointment or failure that comes up, every success or recognition that you receive, you cry out to your shepherd, asking him to guide you, to lead you, to protect you, to empower you with the Spirit. Confess to him daily that I'm weak, I'm incapable, I'm broken, I can't make it through this day, but God, you're strong, you're capable, you're holy. Yes, God, I claim the promises that you give mercy every single morning because I'm a person in need of your mercy. To be good sheep is to live with constant awareness of your dependency for the shepherd. Let me just close with this story. You know, many years ago, my wife and I were coming back home from dinner, and we parked the car in the garage, and we come out and toss out the trash in the alley. And as I step out into the alley, I notice that down the block, there's this dog that's staring at me. Now the dog begins to bark at me. The dog begins to take two steps towards me, and now the dog begins to make a full sprint in my direction. Now, to give you some context here, this was not like some pork, you know, some Yorkie or some poodle here. This dog was huge. I could see its fangs from a mile away, and there was no owner in sight, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is going to be my moment. This is it. I'm going to be dead here. And I knew in this moment that I had no time to run back home. I had no time to close the garage, you know, for safety. The dog was coming way too fast. And as I turn and I look into the garage, I see my wife standing in the garage. And I go over and scream to her. I said, close the garage. And she's like, why? Close the garage. Why? Baby girl, I'm about to die for you. Will you please close the garage, please? And she wouldn't do it. She just wouldn't close the garage. So I go ahead, I plant my feet on the ground, and I knew in this moment I had to protect her, that maybe I could wrestle this dog to the ground, give her some time to get back into the house. And right before this dog lunges right at me, this loud whistle comes from someone's backyard, the dog stops and turns away, and I collapse on the floor. I really thought I was going to die or get mauled in that moment. Now, did I have to do this? No, I didn't have to do this. First off, I'm pretty sure that I could outrun my wife. So that's number one. Secondly, she was carrying leftovers from dinner. So she was a goner, okay? So she had the food in her hands. But it never once crossed my mind to leave her. Why? It's because she belonged to me and I loved her. Our good shepherd is no different. Leaving you in danger, leaving you to care for yourself, it was never an option. He loves you too much. You belong to him. Friends, will you trust and follow him as your shepherd? You know, to close our time, I actually want us to proclaim the greatness of Jesus as our good shepherd by reading Psalm 23 together. So if we can we just stand together and just read this out? Let me just scoot this over a bit over here so we can see this, okay? So if we can, let's read this together as our closing prayer for this sermon. Jesus Christ is my good shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me just pray. Father God, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. And thank you for Jesus, who is our good shepherd. Father, we pray and ask again that you would help us to follow well. Father, that you would help us to humble ourselves. That, Father, that you would help us to be able to deny ourselves and to know that Jesus is enough, that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And Father, I just pray a special blessing over this church, that God, that as this church continues to live on mission, as it continues to share and make Jesus known, that, Father, that you would help them to be able to help other folks who are living down this block, all across McKinley Park and the surrounding neighborhoods, to know that there is a good shepherd who calls them home, who calls them to be with him. Father, we love you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Bethany. We invite you to worship together with us on Sundays. For more information, visit BethanyChicago.org.